to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Now your host, Angelo Patini.
Good morning, everyone. This is Noelle in for Angelo this morning. We're going to have a beautiful weekend out there, so we're going to talk a lot of things that we can do in the garden. It looks like this weekend is the time to do it. More rain, unfortunately, in the forecast for next week, so lots and lots to do. So let's go over some gardening tasks this morning, and then we'll get to your questions. First thing with all the rain is you are probably noticing a lot of mushrooms and fungus growing in the garden beds and the lawn and so forth. You know what? Not harmful at all. Really just rake the mushrooms up or dig them up. Go ahead and dispose of them. And then that's going to create better air circulation around the area, especially in mulched areas. If you're noticing those, it's called fuligo. It's a yellow kind of bubbly slime mold or dog barf mold, which is, you know, obviously sounds disgusting. It looks disgusting too, but really just digging those fungal problems up, taking them out, raking mulch areas, trying to kind of circulate them, and it'll work out fine. Really, once we dry out and get those mulch areas to dry out or those lawn areas to dry out too, should really go away. In the lawn, you can apply some lightning lime to those areas after you remove the fungus, and hopefully that'll decrease them coming back for you. If you are seeing little tar spots from artillery fungus, you can use an automotive bug and tar cleaner, and usually that will help as far as removing some of those dark fungal spots that form. Lawn disease is also starting to crop up around in the areas. Obviously, it's been very, very wet, kind of hard to get out there and mow and take care of these things. But again, this was going to be a good weekend to do this. So if you're seeing lawn disease out there, some rust, red thread, all of those types of things, you want to treat with Scott's Disease X granules, which I would really recommend a granular product at this time, just because not wanting to add more liquids to the plant areas and the lawn areas. But you could also use Bonide Infuse. And Infuse is a systemic fungicide. So it does have a very wide label. It treats a lot of different types of diseases, but it does work from the inside of the plant out. So just keep that in mind. We're seeing a lot of nutsedge growing out there in the lawns as well. Nutsedge, of course, is going to be that very light green, fast-growing kind of grassy weed out there. It is hard to kill because it is in the sedge family. And so Bonide Sedge Ender is going to be the product that you want to use on nutsedge. Don't dig it up. Don't pull it out. It's going to come out very easily now with all the moisture in the lawn. But once you pull it out, you'll see the little bulb or nut lid at the bottom, and believe me, you've left more down in the soil that will continue to grow and spread. So don't pull them. Spraying them is really the most effective control, and you want to do that now, especially when we're trying to get our lawns ready, you know, to reseed here in the end of August, beginning of September. So if we can control as much of that sedge as possible, that's always a good thing. And of course, talking about preparing lawn areas for reseeding, you know, make sure that you're working on eliminating weeds. Using Weed Beater Ultra is a great spot weed control in the lawns. Won't hurt your lawn. It has a very, very wide label for weeds, annual and perennial weeds. So really, that's a really good product to use. Try to clear those areas before you get in and start reseeding the thin spots, the dead spots, the brown spots out there. So try to do that and try to control those weeds before they go to seed. Even if you're just weed whacking them and cutting them down so they don't produce a flower, don't produce more seeds, that's always a really good thing. Try to control that before they really start to spread out there. Okay, spider mites are out and about. Unfortunately, they've been very prevalent this whole gardening season. So there's really two good controls that you can use on spider mites. The one is BioAdvanced insect, disease, and mite killer. So obviously it's a 3-in-1 product. It has about a 6-week residual on it. So go ahead and, if you are having trouble with spider mites and you're seeing, you know, disease issues as well, this is a very good product to use. And again, applying it on, you know, drier days when you can get out there, it would be a good time to apply. Another product that you can use when you're seeing multiple issues, the mites, the insects, disease as well, is neem oil. So neem oil is also a 3-in-1. Obviously, it's a natural product that controls those issues. And that's also one to consider if you're starting to see multiple issues out there in the garden. To prevent diseases on vegetables, I know Angelo has mentioned this probably every week, you know, throughout the growing season this year. Unfortunately, it's just been such a rainy season. Copper fungicide is really your best natural fungal control product out there. It is safe to use on your vegetables and, of course, your ornamentals as well. Copper fungicide, however, you've got to find a dry day. So this is going to be a good day to spray. So again, keep that in mind if you are seeing the powdery mildews, the downy mildews, those types of issues out there. I would definitely recommend spraying and thinking about spraying this weekend. If you're seeing blossom end rot on your tomatoes and other vegetables, peppers will get it, eggplant will get it as well. They're all in the same family. You can apply Bonide Rot Stop to the tomatoes. It is a liquid spray, and so it just gives them an infusion of calcium through their leaves. So that works really well. Again, we're getting a lot of rainfall, and it's kind of washing nutrients and things out of the soil. You know, so it really helps to kind of replenish that for the tomatoes if you are seeing that bottom brown spot developing on your fruit. You can also add lightning lime around the soil as well to kind of give a quick infuse of calcium there too. Deer repellent. So unfortunately, anything that we've been spraying is also getting washed off as far as repelling, you know, your deer, your rabbits, the chipmunks, the squirrels, and so forth. So again, this weekend, think about spraying plant skid or repels all, any product that's going to help you keep the animals off your plants. And of course, chewing or destroying some of your plant material. Unfortunately, I had not been able to spray deer repellent around. And boy, they went to town on my lantana, of all things. So again, they're out there, they're hungry. So make sure that you are spraying and protecting your investment this weekend. And then final tip for this week, again, when the hornets, the yellow jackets, you know, if you're seeing nests out and about, make sure you're taking care of those. Bonide Wasp and Hornet Killer is going to be the spray that you want to use there. And then if you see any of the ground issues like ground bee killers, it's actually a Bonide product. It's a dust. So spider and ground bee killer dust is really the one that you want to use if you're seeing those issues, you know, in the soil. That's going to cover that area very well. Okay, we are going to take a short pause and we'll come right back for your calls.
Hi, I'm AJ Petiti. Summer's in full swing, and Petiti Garden Centers is the best place to find fresh annuals, perennials, trees, and shrubs all season long. Plus, amazing new offers. Right now, during Hydrangea Fest, all sizes and varieties of hydrangea are buy one, get one half off. Perennials are also on special at buy one, get one half off. And our summer sidewalk sale just started. Stop in for 50% off seasonal home decor, garden accessories, and so much more. Plus, our famous annual hanging basket sale continues. Take advantage of buy one, get one free on all of our gorgeous annual hanging baskets, perfect for refreshing the look of your summer patio. Flowering tropicals are also on sale at 50% off while supplies last. And make this the best summer of outdoor living ever. Shop Petiti's for new arrivals and patio furniture, now at 40% off. Petiti Garden Centers, we're celebrating 50 years and growing.
At Petiti's Home and Garden Center.
Back to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Once again, Angelo Petiti.
Hi, everyone. This is Noelle in for Angelo. We're going to get to the phone calls today, 216-578-1100 or 216-578-1111. I wanted to mention lots of summer color out there. If you're looking to plant, there's so much moisture in the ground. You know, you're not having to do a lot of watering maintenance. This is a great time to plant. It's also a great time to divide some of those perennials that you wanted to try. Iris, peonies, poppies are usually typical ones. Daylilies, you can cut back and divide now. Hosta, you can cut back and divide now. So with all this moisture out there, you know, again, the roots will take very quickly. We're going to get some rainfall next week too. So you're going to get that watering taken care of for you. So it's a really good time to add some color and kind of get out there and expand the garden. Okay, we're going to the phone calls here. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello.
Good morning.
Hi there. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Good.
I have a question here. I have a, I don't know what the name of the plant is. Most people call it a snake plant.
Okay.
And it goes real tall. Mine's about 5 feet tall.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, is there any way you can control that, cut it back or divide it or anything like that?
Absolutely. Now, snake plants are what we call Sansevieria, mother's-in-law's tongue. You're right. There's a lot of names for them. They're one of the really best and easiest to grow house plants out there. Slightly succulent, so they don't need a lot of water. They can also take a broad range of light. Everywhere from low indirect light all the way up to bright light and some sun. In fact, you can put them outside as well. However, with this rainy season, it hasn't been the best for them. They do definitely like it drier as far as soil conditions. I will say that you can divide them. It's not a problem. They can be divided really anytime you want to. Best time would always be spring when plants are actively growing and really starting to wake up from the winter dormancy. But at this time, dividing a snake plant, you'll see that they grow in, if you will, kind of in pips. So what they do is they have a cluster of leaves that kind of develops out of one central root system. And so you'll be able to easily divide between each cluster of those leaves. So you could break up a snake plant. Let's say it's in a 10-inch pot. You could easily break it up into, let's say, 5 to 10 plants because you would have that many different clusters of leaves if you wanted to. Height, on the other hand, is not as easy to control. So some of the varieties get taller than others. There are dwarf types. There are medium-sized growers, but there are also the classic tall ones. And so really, height is not something that you would want to cut back per se. So snake plants, really what you'd want to do is if it's too tall for an area, you could take some of the tallest leaves and you could cut them back down to like the root base that was forming where all the leaves are forming. But simply what's going to happen is more leaves are just going to continue to grow and fill out. And the lower the light, of course, the more that they'll grow taller and kind of stretch towards the light as well. So, you know, my suggestions to you would be put it in a little bit of a sunnier spot or a spot where it's getting a little bit more lighting. It doesn't necessarily reduce the growth, but it may help reduce further leaf growth on it. Cutting back, like I said, is not something that I'd recommend necessarily for them. Just find a space where they'll be able to fill out and do nicely for you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks for calling. Have a great day.
And you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning. Do you recommend using Tenacity, the surfactant, and dye for weeds in your lawn?
Yes. I mean, Tenacity, if you can get your hands on it, is an excellent product to use. You know, the surfactant, of course, will help, you know, spread it out evenly for you, but also keep it in the area longer for you. So it is an excellent, excellent product. You know, I have no issues with it. And it does take care of kind of pesky grasses that we have issues with. So it can take care of like Bermuda grass and things that sometimes we have, you know, problems controlling with other weed controls. So again, I think it's a good product that you can use out there.
Is it safe for your lawn? And what time of year can you use it?
So Tenacity, typically we can use in spring and we can use in fall. And yes, it is said to be lawn safe if you have typical lawn grasses out there. So your Kentucky bluegrasses, your perennial rye, typical lawn type grasses that we grow in this area.
And one last question. How soon after you use it can you overseed?
That is a really good question because I have not looked in that label in a long time. You know what? I'm thinking it's probably close to, I would say, 6 to 8 weeks before you could reseed.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the end of this year to reseed, you think?
For sure. You know, if you were applying here, you know, let's say this weekend or next weekend, you'd still fall into a good range where you could overseed by the end of September. So that would be okay. You know, I hate to say it, I have to look at that label again. I have not looked at that label in a long time.
Yeah, I can do that. All right, thank you so much.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Good morning, you're on the air. Hello.
Hi
there.
Hello, Noelle.
Hi.
My daughter, she moved into a new house last year, and well, not new to her, and there was a hydrangea tree, and she just loved it. And the other night when they had a storm and the tree was so full of water, it like split the tree.
Okay.
And part of it and broke off. Is that tree salvageable?
Yes. Yes. I know there was, oh my gosh, so much damage, you know, especially west side. I saw more damage west side than I did see east side with that storm. And the hydrangea trees, you know what, are very, very pliable. And, you know, when they do get real wet and, of course, you know, heavy flowers on them and those flowers fill up, you're right. They do have, you know, a tendency to get cracked in the storm. I would say, you know, depending on the amount of canopy that's left, normally what I would say is, you know, if you have 50% or more of your canopy left, you're probably okay. With hydrangea trees, it can be a lot less. So if you have 25% of your canopy, you know what, they're really, really tolerant of a lot of abuse. And lots of times they will also come back. So right now, you know, anytime something is damaged like that, you're going to want to go in, use a clean pair of pruners or loppers and really, you know, cut those stems that had cracked or, you know, broken jaggedly off and make clean cuts where that happened. The other half of the hydrangea tree or pieces of the hydrangea tree that are still intact, you can leave them, okay, and enjoy the flowers that are there. And then just like we always do, we always say in spring, you're going to want to kind of shape that hydrangea tree to a nice, you know, basketball size. It can be larger than a basketball, but you're really looking for that round shape. And of course, fertilize them in the spring. So your hydrangea trees are, you know, really appreciative of fertilizing two times a year. So you use the plant tone and the iron tone. You do that in spring right after you prune. And then you do that once again in midsummer. And then you should be ready to go. They're such fast growers. They really do a nice job of filling out. And when I mean breaking, I mean, you know, producing more branches, dividing at where they are cut. So I don't see any major problems with it unless you've got like like one stem sticking out, you might not have a great show for next year. But I wouldn't give up on it necessarily.
Okay. So she shouldn't cut anything off of the remaining one right now?
No, if she still has, you know, branches that are flowering, yeah. No, she doesn't need to cut anything off. It would be different if she felt like they were on the verge of breaking, and let's say we have another storm and, you know, she's a little bit afraid that some of those branches would break, then she could certainly cut the flowers off, enjoy the flowers, you know, dry the flowers, and that'll take some of the weight, obviously, off of those stems. So if she's a little bit, you know, hesitant to keep the branches long, and keep some of the large flowers on them, that's okay. She can absolutely prune them. Angelo mentioned last week that, you know, with the panicle hydrangeas, we really prune and trim them, you know, really through the end of August, and they'll continue to produce new buds and flower. So if she wants to remove, you know, the flowering stems, that's not a problem. They'll still continue to produce for her.
Okay, well, thank you so much for your help.
Okay, thanks so much for calling this morning. Have a great day.
You too.
Thanks. Bye-bye. Good morning. You're on the air. Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I have a lawn question.
Okay.
I have bent grass and poe in my Kentucky blue.
Mm-hmm.
I put biofoz, you know, the barricade nitrofoz on it last year.
Okay.
And it did kill almost all the bent grass.
Okay.
Which then left me a real thick layer of thatch. It didn't do too much for the perennial bluegrass.
Okay, good. Okay.
So I've been trying to rake all this out and so I can be ready to replant.
Okay.
But I'm downwind from my problem. So is this like an endless thing I'm never going to be able to conquer?
Well, it sounds like you had really good results with the barricade on the bent grass. So, but you're more concerned about like the thatch layer that was left over?
Right. And do liquid dethatchers work?
Oh, well, no, I've never heard of a liquid dethatcher working very well. Physical dethatching or aerating in the fall is always what we're going to recommend over those. You know, I think it's just a matter of you might have to get a, you know, a physical dethatcher or an aerator for the area. You don't have to do both, but one or the other is really going to help you in the long run. And that's sounds like you said, you've been raking out there and you're trying to, you know, make inroads here, but it's just not working. So I think probably aeration is probably the key here, where you can go through and core aerate, you know, leave the plugs there. That's not a bad thing. And then you can go ahead and reseed that area, and I think you'll find a world of difference there.
Okay, and just continue with the barricade, or should I switch to something different? Or
are you still seeing bent grass in the area?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I know. So it bent is very, very hard. It is very hard to control. In fact, I have a coworker that, you know, has been dealing with it. You know, and we were talking about tenacity earlier. Tenacity you know, can be used for bent as well. It's just one of those things that, you're right, it's very, very hard to control. I think, you know, sometimes I think using burnout or, you know, cleanup or just a straight herbicide, a general herbicide on those areas, you know, are more productive, just to give yourself a true border where, you know, you have gone past the bent grass edge and you have sprayed, you know, the entire area to get rid of it, and then go ahead and reseed. And I think that, you know, again, this is the time to do it, to really prep those areas to get ready for reseeding. And we always say, you know, it's really the best time to reseed in September. So folks, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take a short pause here. We're at the half of the hour, and then I'll be right back with your questions. Thanks so much.
At the TD.
Hi, I'm AJ Petiti. Summer's in full swing, and Petiti Garden Centers is the best place to find fresh annuals, perennials, trees, and shrubs all season long. Plus, amazing new offers. Right now, during Hydrangea Fest, all sizes and varieties of hydrangea are buy one, get one half off. Perennials are also on special at buy one, get one half off. And our summer sidewalk sale just started. Stop in for 50% off seasonal home decor, garden accessories, and so much more. Plus, our famous annual hanging basket sale continues. Take advantage of buy one, get one free on all of our gorgeous annual hanging baskets, perfect for refreshing the look of your summer patio. Flowering tropicals are also on sale at 50% off while supplies last. And make this the best summer of outdoor living ever. Shop Petiti's for new arrivals and patio furniture, now at 40% off. Petiti Garden Centers, we're celebrating 50 years and growing.
At Petiti's Home and Garden Center.
Back to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Once again, Angelo Petiti.
Everyone, this is Noelle in for Angelo. Thank you for the call so far. I was kind of fact-checking tenacity as we were at the break there. And it is safe to use on lawns. That's not a problem. It is a lawn-safe herbicide, and it is pre-emergent when you use it in the spring, and it is post-emergent when you use it at this time of year. So it will control Bermuda grass. It will kill Bermuda grass. So, if you have that, it obviously it'll work. It turns weeds white. So don't be surprised if you use it, that's what will happen. Other than the Bermuda grass factor there, it will control a lot of other lawn weeds, but there's nothing to be said about, it says it suppresses, annual bluegrass, the Poa annua. And, again, it's just another option for controls in the lawn. And using the surfactant is recommended, especially for post-emergent control. So control at this time of year of your perennial and your annual lawn weeds that are there. Okay. So I just wanted you all to know that. Okay. Let's see if our caller's back here. Ma'am, are you still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I had to cut you off there. So again, I'm just thinking core aeration is really a good thing for you. I'm thinking, a general herbicide, whatever you decide to use, you could apply that, today, tomorrow, really just get the bent grass killed all across the board, and then you just start fresh. And Angelo always talks about, it's very easy as long as you have a good clean slate, in the fall to do that. And I think the timing is right to take care of that.
Okay. And is this a good time to transplant and thin out a Veronica?
Oh my gosh. Yes. So, is your Veronica done blooming, or are you still having,
Yeah, I still have, it's on a second set of, a flush of blooms.
Okay, that's great. So I'm going to tell you, Veronica, again, it's a long bloomer, and, enjoy it. And I would say when it's about 75%, bloomed out, go ahead and cut it back, cut it down to maybe 4 to 6 inches tall. Go ahead and divide and transplant. And you can do that anytime this month and next month. No problem whatsoever. They'll do very nicely for you.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for hanging on for me, okay?
All righty.
Okay, bye-bye. Bye-bye. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Noelle.
Hi.
How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I'm good. I've been a gardener for some time now, many years, and I never grew Brussels sprouts.
Ah.
I never tried them. And I like Brussels sprouts, okay? I buy them, my wife gets them all the time in the store for me.
Okay.
And I like to give it a chance to grow. And I'm not a computer person. I don't get online, look up stuff. I look at Rodale's catalogs.
Great.
Books. And I've been reading about those. And it says you should not, you should use regular pots that disintegrate in the ground. You should put them in that instead of a regular plastic like you buy in a garden store.
Okay.
That's what it says here.
Okay.
And it's, can you give me some more information on it, what, how to take care of them, what to fertilize them with, and...
Absolutely.
When can you buy Brussels sprouts at Petiti's?
Right. So, okay, so they're probably recommending that because they're saying that they don't transplant well. However, I haven't had a problem growing them as a seedling and transplanting them out into the garden. But maybe in this respect, you know, you should try either some peat pots or some peat plugs when you're starting seeds and experiment that way. Now, they are the longest crop ever. You know, maturity on Brussels sprouts is like 100, 120 days. I mean, they really do take forever, and they do take the long growing season to go. So normally what you're doing is you're starting them indoors. Because they're a cold crop, you're starting them, I'd say, you know, February is when you can look to start them inside. They start fairly easy indoors, no problem whatsoever. Under bright light conditions, but they can, you know, they don't need a lot of bottom heat. They'll sprout. They'll do fine in household conditions. And then, transplanting outside, anytime after, St. Patrick's Day, when you can get out and kind of work the area in the garden that you want to plant them in, you normally can do that at that time. I wouldn't recommend growing them in containers. They take up a lot of space. Okay. So you do want to give them some space in the garden. I would say at least like a 2x2 area, if not more. Okay.
Okay, I'm gonna plant two plants is all I really want to start
with
this year.
Yeah,
and then... I know they're big because I've been reading about it. I know they grow wide.
Oh, yes.
And this and that.
Yes.
Why does it take so long to... I don't know.
I'm telling you, in Ohio, it takes all growing season. It literally does. So that's why you got to start in, you know, late winter, and you won't be harvesting until they get frosted in the fall because they taste so much better. You do have to watch out for things. And it's just well-drained, rich soil. You know, make sure you're amending your soil with your manures or compost, that type of thing. So good, rich
garden
soil.
How about sweet pea?
Sweet pea is great. Sweet pea is a good composted product. We recommend sweet pea all the time. So yes, absolutely. You know, regular fertilizers, balanced garden fertilizers. So in this case, I would recommend Garden Tone or Plant Tone. You could apply Iron Tone. You don't need to apply Iron Tone. But those types of balanced garden foods are really, really good for them. You would use that at the time of planting. And then Garden Tone, you usually apply about once every, I'd say about 3 or 4 weeks during the growing season. Okay. Other than that, just keep them evenly watered. Don't let them dry out, or your Brussels sprouts will be very small and they'll be very bitter. And then you are literally harvesting in the fall after they get frosted. Okay.
Well, that long, huh?
Yes. Wow. I kid you not. And they taste so much better at that time. What's another thing? Watch out for things like cabbage moths. They do like the Brussels sprouts, so you can cover them with a row cover. That helps out quite a bit with the Brussels sprouts and really any of your broccolis, your cauliflowers, those types of things. So I recommend row covering them. They don't get a lot of diseases typically, so that's really good. I don't see a lot of mildew issues on them or anything like that, but you will see caterpillars and cabbage moths and that type of thing. Okay.
What about Japanese beetles? Spray them with Captain Jack's?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. It's a good thing to have in your arsenal as far as, you know, a natural insect control. Normally not. I don't really see them with Japanese beetles. But keep an eye out for the caterpillar chewing. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah, that's basically it. I wish we could produce them faster. I know. I really wish we could produce them faster. You know, if anybody has an idea about how to get your Brussels sprouts to really produce quickly during the season. But if you look at the seed catalogs and things, you'll see, you know, Brussels sprouts just take a very, very long growing period. So.
When does Angel start sowing them?
We usually have them available, I would say, end of March, beginning of April in the stores as starter plants. So that's when you would start to look for them, okay?
I appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you very much for calling.
Okay, you have a good
day. You're welcome, y'all.
Okay, bye-bye.
Too. Bye-bye.
Good morning. You're on the air. Hello?
Good morning, Noel.
Hi.
Hi. I have an Alice oak leaf hydrangea
Beautiful.
That's been in the ground for 3 years.
Okay.
The first 2 years it was in semi-shade, and a tree was cut down, so now it's almost in full sun. It's never bloomed.
Okay.
What's wrong?
Yeah, I don't think anything's wrong. Obviously, there's a little transition period. They really are the most shade tolerant of all the hydrangeas. So, little transition from shade to sun. I often wonder if, like the natural protection of that tree over the winter may have helped or possibly hindered, just depending on what's happening around that plant. But oak leaf hydrangeas are similar to the old macrophylla types where they need protection over the winter. You're trying, you are trying to protect the buds that are growing right now, that are being produced by that plant right now in August, okay?
Uh-huh.
And you want them to not dry out, get winter damaged, or anything on those stems. So what we'll normally say is, you know, late fall, when we get into November here, when the plant starts dropping its leaves, you're going to clear all the leaves away, and you're going to either wrap the plant in burlap, or you could spray it with an anti-desiccant like Wilt Stop, okay?
Uh-huh.
And that is going to seal in moisture in the stems and hopefully protect those buds that are sitting there on the stems, and those are what's going to be your flowers for next season. Now, the other thing that I want you to do right now is I want you to feed the oak leaf. If you've already fed it with Plant Tone and Iron Tone, you know, midsummer, try applying a triple phosphate, okay, a high phosphorus food. And I like triple phosphate because it's granular, it's straight phosphorus. It will help with root development, but it will also help force plants into bloom. Okay.
Okay.
All right. So that's,
I do have Plant Tone and Iron Tone. Could I use that now?
Yes.
Or would it be preferable to use the triple phosphate?
Well, did you feed them? So they take fertilization. They take it twice a growing season. Okay.
Okay.
Once in spring, you would apply, and then once midsummer. If you have not applied a midsummer feeding for them, I would go ahead and do the Plant Tone and the Iron Tone, but then I would try the triple phosphate as well. Okay. It's just an enrichment, if you will. It's a supplemental food, you know, and that should push them into more bud development, you know, really work on the root system as well, because that's what phosphorus promotes is more root growth, which is always good. And then hopefully next year you're going to see, with the protection, you're going to see more blooms for them. Okay.
Good. I hope so. It's huge.
Yes.
No flowers.
Right. Well, Alice is a big variety. Don't get me wrong. And oak leaf varieties, it doesn't matter. I mean, there's some dwarf oak leaves, but they're still fairly big hydrangeas. So Alice is big, you know, as long as she's got space, she'll fill out and she should be doing just fine for you. Okay.
Thank you so much, Noel.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye
bye.
Okay, folks, we're going to take a short break and I'll be right back with your phone calls.
Hi, I'm AJ Petiti. Summer's in full swing, and Petiti Garden Centers is the best place to find fresh annuals, perennials, trees, and shrubs all season long. Plus, amazing new offers. Right now, during Hydrangea Fest, all sizes and varieties of hydrangea are buy one, get one half off. Perennials are also on special at buy one, get one half off. And our summer sidewalk sale just started. Stop in for 50% off seasonal home decor, garden accessories, and so much more. Plus, our famous annual hanging basket sale continues. Take advantage of buy one, get one free on all of our gorgeous annual hanging baskets, perfect for refreshing the look of your summer patio. Flowering tropicals are also on sale at 50% off while supplies last. And make this the best summer of outdoor living ever. Shop Petiti's for new arrivals and patio furniture, now at 40% off. Petiti Garden Centers, we're celebrating 50 years and growing.
At Petiti's Home and Garden Center.
Back to Gardening with Angelo on News Radio WTAM 1100. Once again, Angelo Petiti.
Good morning, everyone. This is Noelle and for Angelo. Sorry we had to take a real short commercial pause, and we're right back to your phone calls. Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Hi.
Hello. I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. Thanks.
I have a question about a magnolia tree. My husband is forced to dig it out because it's underneath the wires, and every time he trims it, it doesn't get a good bloom on it, so we're just decided to take it out.
Okay.
How deep do those roots go?
Oh, golly. How old is the tree?
It's got to be about almost 50 years.
Wow. Yeah.
He's kept it short because of the wires.
Sure, sure. And, you know, every time you kind of prune something like that, magnolias grow like weeds. You know, they really are easy to, they fill out again and they do their thing. But every time you prune back, you push more energy right into the stems, the branching, and then also the root system. So I'd imagine the root system would be pretty extensive.
Oh, so you don't think he'd be able to dig that out?
I don't. With a 50-year-old tree, oh gosh, that would seem quite a task, I would imagine. I think it's, you know.
He kept it more like a bush because it had leaves all the way down to the bottom.
Okay. Well,
so you know, I don't know if that would make a difference.
Yeah, I hate to say it. I think he's still going to have a pretty extensive root system, but you could always, get started and then, you know, see what happens from that point. But I imagine it's going to be pretty extensive. And typically they reach out. They have very fibrous root systems, so they're reaching out, into the soil areas and also reaching down.
Okay, well, he's cut it down to the ground. Maybe it's up about not even a foot, I don't think.
Okay.
If we are able to get that out, how soon can we replant something there?
Well, if you're able to get all the roots out, you would be able to replant, you know, immediately. And fall is a great time to plant, you know, anything new. I think it just depends on how well you can get the root system out. If you have to grind the roots out, you know, if it just becomes too big of a job for him, then a little bit different story. We usually talk about treating the area with lightning lime because it's going to be a very acidic area where you're grinding the roots. So typically leaving it fallow or just leaving it alone for about 6 months or so. But you'd really want to do a soil test before you replanted anything to see if that area, you know, started to balance out again.
So that would only happen if he had to have it grounded out.
Correct. Correct.
Okay.
Okay.
We want to put a hydrangea tree there.
Oh, okay.
I want to know if it can be in direct sun.
Yes, absolutely. They're wonderful for that.
Okay, and I'm not sure the name. The one that starts out, I believe it starts out white, turns pink, and then turns dark red.
Okay, so we've got a couple different types, anywhere from Pinky Winky to Quick Fire to Firelight are probably the three best there. They're going to start white, turn kind of creamy, then blush, then pink. And they all have a little bit different flowering look to them. So I definitely check those three varieties out.
And let's see, how tall do they get?
Really good question. I would say with Firelight, Pinky Winky, and Quickfire, those are going to be right around like the 12 to 15 foot mark. You know, full canopy. If you're not cutting them back, if you just let them really fill out, you could do little Quickfire because there are a few little Quickfire trees. They're just starting to come out, and little Quickfire would be a little bit more compact for you. So you're looking at maybe an 8 to 12 foot tree. Okay.
And you could trim those to the size of a basketball, because that's what we do to the one in the back.
Yeah. So in spring, you would trim it to the size of a basketball, and then you would just let it fill out. And then Angelo recommends usually, I would say about the end of May, very beginning of June, you can cut back some of the new growth and keep it even more compact, but it delays the blooming a little bit. And the flowers are a little bit smaller, but that's a way to kind of keep them even more petite, if you will.
Okay, now behind that is a weeping cherry. Is that going to interfere with that?
Weeping cherry, how big does your weeping cherry get? I mean,
well, my husband trims that too.
Okay.
because it's by the wires.
Yeah.
I'd say now maybe it's like 12 feet.
Yeah, I think they'll be similar. I don't know as far as, I mean, if it's right in front of it, it's going to be shading it a little bit,
okay.
But it really
okay.
shouldn't be too much of a problem. They can, you know, they can grow in similar areas, similar sites.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you for all the information. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks so much for calling. Bye-bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye.
Good morning. You're on the air.
Good morning, Noelle.
Hi.
Hi. I have two questions. I understand about treating weeds in the lawn now,
mm-hmm.
but what has really taken over my entire lawn, even though I tried to treat it last year, not vigorously enough, I guess, is the Creeping Charlie.
Oh.
And I understand that that does better growing when it's cooler temperatures than like now when it's going to be in the 80s again. Is
right.
that, do you find that to be true?
So Creeping Charlie is also known as ground ivy, is also known
yes.
as glaucoma. Okay. And it is a true perennial weed. Okay. So perennial weeds are definitely tougher than annual weeds like a dandelion because they are expanding and getting more mature. And if you are cutting them or digging them and you don't get all of the roots and stems out, of course, they just divide and keep going, right? So you do have to treat them a little bit differently. The best, what I really like to use on your perennial weeds is typically Bonide has a formulation, and I'm looking at the chickweed, clover, and oxalis killer. Okay. And this is a little bit different from Weed Beater Ultra. Of course, Weed Beater Ultra, I believe it's labeled for it. And Weed Beater Ultra can control at cool temperatures. So it's still a good thing to have in the arsenal. However, the chickweed, clover, and oxalis killer has a slower acting, but very active ingredient in it, and of course the name eludes me right now, but it does really, really well if you can get Creeping Charlie when it is starting to go dormant in the fall. Okay, so like you said, it grows, it's pretty active during cooler periods. Yes, so what you want to do with perennial weeds is you want to make sure you're catching them in the spring. Okay, when they're first emerging and just starting to fill out, that's when they are weak. And then when we're moving into the fall, you want to spray them and get them again because they're starting to absorb as much energy, water, nutrients as possible to store in their root system. And if you're spraying them with an herbicide at that time, they're absorbing that more. Okay. So spring and fall are always going to be really good times to control them. And that's what I would probably use at that time. Now, if you have Weed Beater Ultra, you can be using it throughout the growing season. You never want to spray any type of spray or herbicide when it's above 85 degrees, okay? Because plants just shut down. So they'll close all their pores. They won't absorb anything. They'll just sit there, okay? So don't spray when it's hot out. But again, when we're cooling down, like you mentioned, and this weekend would be a good time to do it, you can go ahead and use that at that time. But you're right. It's going to take, you know, 2, 3, 4 applications in order for it to really be effective for you. So that's the only bad thing, is you really have to stick with it. And I always say, you know, section off the lawn, work in sections so you're not, you know, tiring yourself out, but that's going to be the best way to control that.
Would I be just as well served by waiting until it gets cooler instead of doing it this weekend? I mean, I have a lot.
Yeah.
Should I wait until like September or October, or no?
It is really hard to say. I think if you can try to get, what I would do is I'd recommend a spot spray, you know, choose a couple spots, see, you know, get a good application down, see if it's making inroads. Okay. And if it is, then I would continue to use that, and I would continue to apply into the fall.
Okay. And then I have one other question.
Okay.
I inherited several old Physocarpus Diablos. I think they look like Diablos.
Oh, yeah. The nine barks.
Uh-huh. So I cut them back very hard in the spring, thinking I was going to get more branches. But it seems to me I have about the same number of branches. And because then they were newer and weaker, you know, they're kind of more drooping. And these get, I'm talking, they get 8 feet tall. And I don't, what I'm asking is, should I try pruning them like kind of like a butterfly bush? Does that work to kind of do that? Or are they just want to be 8 feet tall and that's that? I'm thinking of getting more smaller branches in there. Is that doable, possible?
I think it is. I think your trimming would work. What I think you should try to do is, if you are spring trimming, okay, go ahead and shape it to the size you want, okay? And this is early spring. You won't get any flowering, all right, because you're removing some flowers there. But you get to the branching that you want, and then again, like I was talking about with the panicle hydrangea, right around the end of May, beginning of June, go ahead and trim the new growth that's coming out. And I think that is going to give you the effect that you want, where you're going to get some more compact stems. And I really think they just grew like heck because of all the water and everything this year. So yes, they are typically a tall shrub, but I still think you can do a couple of prunings early in the season to control that height. Thanks so much for calling, everybody, today. Have a wonderful weekend. Enjoy it outside. And Angela will be back next week.